welcome to Season 7 of The Process Podcast, an interview series exploring the process of survival as a creative. For this season, we're going back to our roots and talking to all sorts of creatives from a wide variety of industries, backgrounds, and creative endeavors about how they make it all work, from mental health to relationships to money to the creative process itself, and a whole lot more. I'm your host, Shannon Byrne, and I'm just trying to figure it out like the rest of us. Big thanks to the band Blessed for letting us use our song Endure as our intro music for this season. You can find their music at Blessed, that's B-L-E-S-S-E-D, band.bandcamp.com, or wherever you buy your music. And to Hannah Spencer for all of the design and branding and the strategy work she does for us. And Lonnie Webb for running our social media. Thank you for listening. Hope you all dig it. Hello. Hi. This week's episode is with Dimitri, John, and Jamie of the band Horse Jumper of Love, one that I listen to probably on a daily basis, if not almost daily, definitely a few days a week. Big fan of their music. They are from Boston, Massachusetts, and they have two albums and a demo anthology out, and are working on, have been working on, some new material that we can expect to see probably late spring, early summer this year, which is rad. I got the chance to sit down with the three of them to chat before their headlining show at Transpecos, in Brooklyn, New York, this past summer. And we talked about how they met and started playing music together, lessons learned from recording those first two albums that they've already applied to recording the new material, how they shifted their perspective to reach their goals as a band and what it looked like to identify and define those goals. We dive pretty deep into how getting organized and planning proactively has majorly reduced their stress and allowed them to really focus on their music careers, their songwriting process, tour advice, and their process of getting more comfortable touring and on stage, and the recording process for their upcoming album and more. We were outside in the patio at Transpecos for this interview, and the folks next door were gearing up for a party, so there is some background noise, I apologize, but it doesn't really ramp up till the end of it. So most of the interview is pretty chill. Huge thanks to Horse Jumper of Love. Really enjoyed the conversation. Hope you do too. You can find links to their music and all of the bands that we talked about. And they also shared contemporary and bands who came before them, who they look up to and admire, and who've helped form their path. So you can find links to all of that and more at theprocess.co, and I hope you dig it. Check y'all next week. This is your first headlining show outside of Boston?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah. First one outside of Boston. And I feel like it might be our first, like, venue headlining show, maybe. Or maybe we've, like, headlined a couple shows in Boston before, but yeah.
Did you all grow up in the Boston area?
Yeah.
How did you originally meet?
We met because Jamie and I played in, like, a really shitty, like, pop emo. No, not pop. No, sorry.
Pop indie.
Indie pop. Pop.
Indie pop. Nice.
Yeah, like, indie pop band in high school when I was, like, 16 and Jamie was 14. And then we signed up for the Battle of the Bands at Jamie's high school, right? Were you going to high school there?
I think I just left.
Oh, you just left.
But maybe I said we went there. Or someone,
anyways,
I don't know.
Yeah, I guess it's not important. But we played a Battle of the Bands when we were, like, young children. And then John was a year older than us, and he had this sick band. And I was like, wow, like, they're so good. Like, they sound like Coldplay. And we were playing against him, and Jamie and I beat him. And I was like, holy shit, like, we beat John.
Yeah. How do you feel about that?
I'm still bitter about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we won $100 in, like, a gift card to, like, TGI Fridays or something, right?
Wasn't maybe it, like, Bertucci's?
Weird? Was that, no, it was a $100 Bertucci's gift card.
It was Bertucci's, yeah.
Yeah.
And they beat me and my little brother's band.
Yeah. And then after that, like, we kind of lost touch, but then, like, John and I ended up talking on, like, Facebook or something, and he was like, Facebook, you want to come over my house and watch Lord of the Rings? And then I was like, yeah, sure. And then he fucking flaked out, and I was like, day up, he was like, he just didn't respond to his text or something, and I was like, fuck this guy.
I have no memory of this.
No. But then, like, the next day, he was like, sorry, like, I was asleep or something. No, I don't know. He was like, sorry. And then I was like, no, that's cool. Like, you want to jam? And then we all jammed, and then that was it.
Nice. Yeah. And you formed Horse Jumper Love, like, 2 years? 3 years?
5 years ago.
Yeah, it was probably, like, at that point, it was, like, probably, like, 2013. Or, like, late 2013, maybe, at that point. We didn't really have a name. Yeah, we were, like, jamming, and then we, like, kind of got a name, and then, like, we kind of started playing shows. But we didn't, like, release our first album until, like, 2016.
Right.
Yeah. Cool. Just a lot of, like, playing music together until we, like, finally decided to record it.
Yeah, I think I read that a lot of the songs from So Divine were already, like, half written.
Yeah. Some of them even, like, some of them were sung, our songs, like, from that time, like 2013, 2014 or something.
Yeah,
even
definitely.
Yeah.
What does that feel like to sit on the songs that long? Felt like a pretty normal.
It feels awful.
Yeah, I'd imagine, like, I have a hard time, like, if I create something that has to go out right away.
Yeah,
I can't just, like, sit on it.
No.
Yeah. What made you not release it then on the first?
Well, it was kind of like, we went to record the first album, and I was like, all right, like, I have this idea for this first album. And, like, these other songs I'll save. Like, that was, like, 2015 when we went to record the first album. And I was like, these other songs I have, I'm going to save them for the next record, which we'll just do, like, shortly after. But, like, little did we know that, like, we are all procrastinators and didn't get around to recording the second record till, like, maybe, like, 2017 or something. Yeah, and then that took, like, 2 years or something to do, because we were just, like, we reissued the first one, and we, like, went on tour for a while, and we just, like, we're, like, we all work, too, and we just, like, kind of didn't get time to do it, I guess. And then finally, when we finished it, we were like, wow, like, this is a great learning process. Now we know how we're going to do the next record, and it's not like that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What were some of those lessons, other than the don't procrastinate?
That's, like, the main one. And then, like, just kind of, like, going into it and thoroughly demoing the songs and really just, like, planning our time, being like, we're going to spend these next 2 weeks demoing, and then we're going to spend these 3 days in the studio, and, you know, we're going to go in, like, with, like, a list of everything we want and, like, not change our minds about it.
Okay.
Right.
Which is what we did. We went in, like, last month and recorded 5 songs for our next record, and they're all done. And it's, like,
totally
so much easier. Yeah.
You don't feel that changing the mind can sometimes lead to, like, something even better? Is that not...
I think it was good for some of these songs that changed when we played them live over time. I think it was, like, ultimately a good thing we waited and that it took that long, but going into the next recording with this other mindset, it feels way better. Not to say that it was a bad experience before, it just was a learning experience, I think.
Yeah, and it's, I think, changing our minds is definitely, like, we're still, like, open to doing that. I think it's mainly when it comes to, like, actual parts themselves. For this last record, So Divine, we, like, spent, like, so long trying to figure out, like, what amp I wanted to use. I get, like, really nervous doing, like, the vocal takes, which was, like, one of the biggest problems for this record was doing the vocals. But for this one, we were in the studio and we were on, like, the couch in, like, the control room or whatever, and I was just like, can I just, like, do the vocals right here? And I just did them, like, on the couch, and it was super comfortable, and I'm, like, really happy with them, instead of, like, going into, like, a vocal booth or, like, you know, like, putting my headphones on and being like, okay, like, yeah.
What do you all do for, like, how do you all pay your bills?
I make pizzas and walk dogs.
I wait tables and serve drinks.
I work at, like, a fake kind of temp job where I, like, show up in a suit and I don't do anything, actually.
Yeah.
Sometimes I do, but usually not. And on the morning in the train, people think I'm someone else.
Yeah.
He looks really different in a suit.
Yeah,
it's
awesome.
Yeah. Wild. Yeah. I changed out of it for the shot. Yeah, it's my favorite job I've ever had.
Yeah. When you put on the suit, do you also, like, take on another personality?
Yeah, stoned guy on the train. No. No. Totally. I don't say anything to anyone.
Yeah. Is there, like, a vision for the band? Like, what are the goals?
Like, long-term goals for the band? I think, like, we want to get to a point where, like, if we're on tour, maybe we can, on tour or, like, selling, I don't know, like, records or whatever, like, we can be making enough money to, like, not work as much or something and, like, work more part-time and do this more full-time.
Yeah.
I think this is
what we
love.
More, yeah.
And, like, this is, I think after we recorded this record, we kind of started going into it like with the mindset of like this is like work and we're not like, like it's still like we're making art and like whatever, but we like, you know, we have to like work and like work our asses off for whatever.
Yeah.
Getting more organized, more communication, even just going into the studio 2 weeks ago, that was like a huge change, like we were saying, from the time before. And that feels really good. And that feels like a goal accomplished. Being more productive and all being on the same page and in agreement on stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You guys have like a PR person and stuff too, right?
Mm-hmm. And a booking agent for the first time too.
Yeah, it's great. You all also signed to labels both times. Run for Cover this time. And who was it?
Joy Void was the last for the reissue of the last one. So when we first put out our first record, we put tapes out with a label in Boston, Disposable America.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't sign like a record deal. It was kind of just like, we're gonna put like tapes out together, and like, you know, we still like do stuff with them too. Like we have like our, like a demo tape out with them, and that happened. And then the next year we signed a deal with Joy Void to reissue that onto vinyl.
Oh, cool.
Stuff. Yeah.
Wait, did that kind of fall into place? Like, did you ever consider self-releasing? What was that process like?
You've been self-releasing music your whole life.
Yeah, I guess like...
So then...
I've been like self-releasing music since I was like 15.
Oh, yeah.
Just like putting it up on Bandcamp or SoundCloud or whatever. I guess with this project, I wanted it to like be more of like a real thing or whatever. Not that like signing to a label makes it real, or like put it self-releasing makes it any less real, but like for me it was like, you know, like recording a song and like immediately putting up on like SoundCloud and being like, here's a song I wrote,
right? Mm-hmm.
And this one, there's just like so many more steps involved,
more of a package.
Yeah
being able to like get vinyl especially is something we probably couldn't afford before.
Right.
It's at a whole level of organization too that like I think has made it easier for us.
Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Like, just having people where there's, like, we can look months into the future and we know, like, oh, we're going to release this thing on this date, tour this far ahead in advance, like, for work schedules.
Yeah.
Stuff like that, even.
Mm-hmm. Work backwards.
Like, being able to look a year into the future and know every loosely what we're doing, it feels like it takes a huge level of stress off.
Yeah.
It used to be that maybe 6 months ago or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah, I feel way less stressed now.
Great. Are your jobs, like, pretty cool about you taking time off, or do you just, like, move on to a different one after tour?
For the most part, they have been. Jamie was in school up until, like, a few months ago. That was, like, pretty much, like, the...
That was the thing, too.
Yeah.
And I had mono last year, those two things.
Yeah.
Mono, school.
Yeah.
Add a timeline, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. My job's pretty cool about it. As long as I get coverage, my coworkers are awesome about that. And, like, letting them know as in advance as possible. But I'm not necessarily, like, an integral part to anything. Just, like, waiting tables. It's not, like, super important.
And I do nothing, so.
Yeah, right.
They're like, yeah, come back anytime.
Amazing. What do you go to school for?
Like, music industry stuff, yeah.
Do you find yourself applying that to...
Yeah.
Do you actually, like, learn valuable...
Mostly like to like straight up to like use email labels, like stuff like that, you know what I mean, like email labeling, basic spreadsheet. Yeah, I wasn't as good at like reading and writing before I went to college, so now I'm slightly better.
Yeah.
That's basically, I was like, great, thanks for letting me come, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was like that.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
I took some cool classes.
Yeah.
Novel stuff, like read some fun books, whatever. I'm not gonna talk about that. Some shit.
You mentioned that you want to tour more.
I think that
take? I feel like that's a naive question, but...
I guess, like, wanting to do it more and, like, having a more open schedule to do it.
Okay.
Like, now that music feels like it can be more of a priority, I guess because of, like, monetary reasons, too. It's like, we didn't tour for, I don't know, like, since, like, last December, and we, like, just worked, and now, like, you know, we have money aside where we can, like, go on tour for a month and, like, still, like, pay our rents, and like, we are also, like, actually starting to make, like, a little bit of money off the show so that we can't, like, if we need to pay ourselves out to, like, pay our rent or, like,
buy
food,
yeah.
Even... You know, even, like, get, like, a motel room, like, here and there.
Cool.
So we're, like, comfortable. Like, it's, like, less emotionally stressful, too. Like, knowing that, like, oh, like we don't have to stress about, like, if we can, you know, afford a motel room this night. Or, you know, like, have to, like, crash in some random place. Or, I don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
And, like, as we're getting more organized, like Jamie was saying, we can look a year in advance and kind of have an idea of what it's going to be like, and planning all that stuff is way easier now, like, for the next release and planning a tour around that, et cetera.
Yeah.
So, what's the songwriting process like?
Usually, I'll, like, come up with, like, the song, like, the melody, chords, and then I'll be like, hey, guys, like, I wrote this new song. Let's try this out. And then, yeah, Jimmy gets all the drums.
Crawl around.
The bass. And, yeah, and then they, like, you know, make it into a real song.
So melody comes first and lyrics?
It depends. I think usually for me it's, like, melody and then lyrics, but sometimes lyrics come first. Like, this one time, I feel like this is like a classic rock story. I woke up from a dream and I had these lyrics and I was like, whoa, like, I'm gonna write these down. And then you know, I woke up and, like, just was like, okay, I have these lyrics and now I need to, like, make a guitar part, and, like, it just, like, happened like that, you know. I feel like, didn't the Beatles do that or something? They, like, dreamt a lot and, like, woke up, or, like, Paul McCartney was like, I dreamt of this song I wrote, and, like,
not dreamt or tripped.
I don't know. Trip to the song.
Yeah.
I think for the next one, we're going to enter our acid phase.
There you go. Yeah. Is that typically where lyrics come from? Is things like just dreams and everyday life and stuff?
Not usually dreams, but mostly just, like, everyday life stuff. Like, just, like, have a note open on my phone that has, like, all this, like, random shit. And I'll be, like, walking down the street and I'll be like, oh, like, here's the thing. And then sometimes I'll have the melody first, and then I'll, like, go back through my notes and be like, okay, like, this works, and, like, piece it all together. It's kind of like a puzzle.
Yeah. The lyrics feel unexpectedly relatable.
Cool.
In, like, an everyday life type of way. It's like, cool. We probably don't have that much in common. But they still feel very relatable, you know
cool.
What I mean?
Yeah.
Also, been listening to a lot of Community College this week.
Ooh. Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Cool.
Love it.
Thanks.
Are all also in that band, right?
Nah, I'm
not Jamie.
No,
I'm in that band, yeah. I play bass.
His little brother plays.
And my little brother plays drums.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And you're lead songwriter on that one?
Yeah. But I write the sick bass riffs.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Dimitri's lead bass.
Yeah.
Lead bass, yeah.
Is that just, like, another organic project? You work on all the time?
Yeah. Don't spend as much time on that, and my younger brother has a job where he can't really travel as much, but I still love, like, writing with them and playing as much as we can. It feels good to do. It's, like, a little bit different, and we'll do it, like, maybe, like, once a month or so. We'll have a little practice, and we released that with Disposable America as well. We did a little tape there.
Nice. Mm-hmm. What's a Boston music scene such like these days?
I think it's cool. I think Boston... it's too expensive. I think people would make slightly more music and art there if it were more affordable, the way it was at some point in time. But I was a little kid when that was happening, so I didn't have to deal with, you know, gentrification, rent increase. But there's a lot of great rock music, there's a lot of great hip-hop music, and I feel like we've been in an environment of, like, live rock music, house shows, small clubs. When we were teenagers, there were more places where, like, underage kids could have shows in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we could go down the street from a club and, like, have a show on a Wednesday at noon in the summer or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still a lot of good rock shows now. There was recently, like, a big hip-hop concert held on the same day as Boston Calling.
Oh.
To be like, fuck you, Boston Calling, but, like, I'm not. It was a dope concert.
Yeah.
It was really good. And there's, like, a whole bunch of, like, those artists played a big R&B festival that they held for free in Boston recently. And then we're going to play with Duster, so there's a lot of great stuff.
Yeah. That's right. How did that happen?
We got it, like, through our label.
Okay.
Yeah. Or our booking agent / label. Like, the label helped us get booking agent. And then,
okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, it's cool. They're, like, definitely a huge influence on us.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that was weird.
That is true.
Because I didn't even think they were still a band. And then it's like, come.
Yeah. I didn't either, to
I
be
mean,
honest.
They said they were coming back, but
yeah.
It was strange.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I thought it was a joke at first. I don't remember who told me that that was happening.
Well,
because, like,
we would
no
joke
way.
About stuff like that.
If Boston Calling invited you, would you? Would you play?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, sure.
We'll play the other show, too.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? We'll play both the same day.
Yeah.
And I'll just boost the other one more.
Totally.
Because they need it, you know? Sorry, I don't know.
Will this be your first West Coast tour?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you all have a good sense of, like, where your fans are and where they're concentrated? Or is that more in the booking agent? Like, are you just like, yeah, West Coast?
Well,
see who shows up.
It seems like we have, like, a few, like, we can see, like, ticket sales for certain shows, and, like, we can see how many tickets we've, like, sold in L.A., and it seems like it's doing, like, all right, I guess, but I think we'll probably have better, like, a better experience with, like, L.A. and, like, Seattle and Portland, as opposed to, like, smaller cities out there. Like Denver will be cool, too, because, like, we're playing with a band we really like in Denver,
yeah.
A Gleamer.
Are there any other, like, modern bands that y'all are inspired by? Not necessarily like that are informing the way you're creating music, but bands
like
just.
Yeah, yeah. Like we did a tour with Spirit of the Beehive last December. We're like huge fans of them. They're like great people, and we like their music a lot.
They were so tight every night. So good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was like definitely inspiring to like tour with them because Like, we went on a tour, and, like, they really, like, had their shit together, and it was, like, cool. Like, this is awesome.
Yeah, it was helpful to watch them.
In terms of actual bands you're inspired by, anything on their mind?
Well, like, Duster, like, I feel like has been a big influence on me, at least. And, the Silver Jews.
I hate your fucking tattoo. Yeah.
The Silver Jews specifically are, like, a band that, like, changed my life, I think, when I was, like, first heard them when I was like 17, like specifically lyrically, and like because like I'd never heard songs like that before where it was like, you know, like I wasn't really sure like what it was about. It was like it was like weird like poetry, and, like,
yeah.
I really like that. Yeah, a lot of like yeah. books too, and like ambient music too is like a big thing for me, I guess. Like slow paced stuff, and actually like my dad has played me a lot of like old Greek music too, which is really cool. It's like very like dark and like sad.
Yeah.
And it was like the very like painful music to listen to. Like my Greek is okay, but like I'll like sit with my dad and he'll play me like this like old Greek song it's like this style of music called Rebetika, which is basically these like old Greek dudes who like never made any money playing their music and then like just like wrote about despair. It's just like like stuff like that. I don't know.
Yeah, love it. So, did you grow up learning Greek?
Yeah, yeah. Both my parents are Greek, so I grew up in like a very Greek with a very Greek family.
Yeah, you're a visual artist too, right?
More or less, I guess. I just like to doodle stuff. Yeah, I made both the album arts, but and like yeah.
What does the word process mean to you?
Process?
We all have no idea.
Well, when I hear the word process, I guess I hear it as like a very positive word.
Yeah.
But I guess it could be like, it could also be neutral too, but like process, I always think of it as like things getting better.
Yeah, I think of like when we play a song for the first time and I don't really like know the lyrics yet or understand what he's exactly saying, I'm getting bits and pieces of it. And like that first time where we don't know what's gonna happen exactly. That's what that makes me think of, for sure.
If I think about it like a process with this band, like we're going on tour now, and the process of getting ready for that tour is like a task that we're learning and we've done so many times. And now part of the reasons why we feel so much more comfortable is because we put more work in ahead of time.
Right.
So we're not like, oh fuck, what are we gonna do for every single one of our shows? Just like a couple, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, totally. Speaking of which, are there any stories so far that are like either happy stories or stories that are like, please, good God, let that never happen again?
Like tour stories?
Yeah.
Oh shit. Yeah, we're pretty crazy. No,
we'll just make ourselves sound melodramatic, you know what I mean? Because they're probably like not that bad. Yo, John is so charming. That night of, we'll be in a city where we've never been before, and they'll find us a place to stay in someone's house who we just met, and they're not even there.
Yeah.
And they just trust them.
Someone gave me the keys to their apartment and we stayed there.
And they were not there, just like a random person who was at the show.
We'd never been there before. Yeah. I don't even remember.
And it was like, I was scared.
Yeah. That's a legitimate. I feel like everyone should have been scared in that situation. Yeah,
but you know what's weird? When we went to the house, the person's like passport and social security card were out on the table.
Yeah, on the table.
I was like, wow, that this is like,
crazy.
Like,
maybe they're doing like some crazy social experiments.
Yeah, there were cameras there.
Yeah.
It was already a social experiment since they started talking.
Yeah, they were super nice.
That's not
and
that crazy, though. You know?
It was pretty freaky for Dimitri and Jamie. And I was like, no, it's fine, it's fine.
Yeah, John was like, it's fine. I've known them all night.
Yeah.
And we put the keys in the mailbox after and never saw them again.
Wow.
Yeah, it was cool. But
good
it's
Samaritan.
Amazing. There are people, like, you meet so many great people. It's cool. People are nice and, like, you know, want to help.
Yeah. Is that typically how are you, like, crashing with friends most of the time?
Sometimes, and then sometimes just, like, like, bands or, like, people. Like, for this one, like, some people who, like, listen to our music, like, have, like, messaged us on, like, you know, like, Instagram or Twitter being like, hey, like, if you need a place to crash, like, here tonight, like let me know or something, which is cool.
We played a birthday party in Kentucky once.
Oh,
and still
shit.
Are friends with a
that
lot of
those
people.
That was the best
people.
Show we ever
played. The best show ever. It was in Bowling Green, Kentucky.
Like, love nine bands played, I think.
Nine
we went towards Strange Mangers.
Yeah.
Any other touring lessons that you'd share with, like, a band that's maybe going on their first tour?
So excited.
Socks.
Keep the van clean. Yeah,
my cousins
it gets
are
real
going
dirty.
On their first tour.
Yeah?
My little cousin.
Them?
No, like, don't be an asshole to each other in the car. Because you have to work together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
totally. We've gotten into some fights, but, like, now I feel like we're at a level of communicating with each other that it's, like, we can't
it's
really, like,
fine.
Really
it's
get
fine.
Into fights anymore because we're like, okay, like, we totally understand each other completely.
Yeah, we get each other more than other people. Just because
kinda, like,
of the time we spent.
Sibling vibes.
Oh my god.
But also social media, you know, we don't see a lot of people these days, so.
Wait, what?
I don't know, whatever. I just said that for fun.
Also social media.
Sorry, I should have, like, gone to get the ice. I'm just gonna say, make stuff up.
How do you feel about social as a band? Are you pretty good at
oh.
with that stuff?
Well, Jamie's the social media king, but get this, Jamie accidentally tweeted Horse Jumper of Love from our Horse Jumper of Love Twitter the other day, and it literally got the most likes we've
ever
gotten.
Anything we've ever done.
It got, like, over, like, 300 likes or something.
Which, that's our ceiling. That's our Twitter ceiling,
just like,
by the way.
Yeah, which is just, like, you know, he just tweeted Horse Jumper of Love by accident. So I guess we're pretty good at social media.
Yeah, it's great. Happy
it's
mistakes.
Literally pure instincts.
Yeah. Goes to show what people are interested in or paying attention to.
Yeah,
because at 9 a.m. someone was like, huh.
Yeah. This is probably a mistake or not. Either way, gonna like
yeah,
it.
People were tweeting like, up. This is very brave.
Yeah.
Right,
like,
yeah.
That is so
it's
funny.
A brave tweet.
Yeah. And now we're
not
talking
enough people
about
are
it.
Talking about this yet.
Yeah, it's all part of our marketing strategy.
Tour advice, I'd say, bring twice as many socks as you think you need.
Oh, yeah.
And hit grocery stores as often as you can.
Oh, yeah, grocery stores.
Because it's, like,
stores.
Fun to eat cool food and be at places, but, like...
Yeah, because, like, you go to every... Sorry.
No, I'm fine.
You go to, like, every city and someone's like, you gotta eat this food everywhere. And we're like yeah. Like,
we
do it. But, like, yeah,
we did.
Yeah, but, like, going, like, grocery stores and getting, like, sandwich stuff is, like...
Yeah, the first time you go to a place, eat the fun thing. And then every other time, budget.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, you're going on your first trip to somewhere the first time, make it something to remember, because the show might suck.
Yeah.
So.
You all, like, go out after after shows, typically, or are you pretty good about...
Sometimes. Okay. Not all the time. I feel like...
I don't.
We, like... Yeah, Jamie doesn't. Like, John and I might go to, like, a bar or something. Or, like, we like hanging out in the... Like, if we get a motel or something, we like hanging out in the motel room and, like...
Oh, and just flipping
and,
channels.
Like, just flipping
just
channels.
Flipping
stuff.
Channels.
We're like, oh, I'm tired. My whole life.
Yeah. We like sobbing.
Yeah. That's when we'll sob.
Yeah.
Is after we take a shower.
Yeah.
And feel pretty.
Do you all, like, a debrief after a show? Or is it...
Sometimes we debrief, but sometimes we're just like, like, you know, King of the Hill when they're like drinking beers and they're like,
Yeah, like, let's not talk about it.
Yeah, and then other times we'll be like, John, I can't believe you fucking did that.
Then, I've made some mistakes.
No, I'm just kidding.
Do you typically engage with fans a lot after?
Yeah, we're definitely pretty chatty, I feel like.
Yeah, tonight's going to be a little different because we're playing as a four-piece.
Oh, yeah, we're playing with four people.
Yeah,
for the first time. Yeah.
He's not allowed to come over here.
What's going to be different?
Well, there's like a second guitar and a keyboard and tambourine. So, yeah, usually it's just like, guitar, bass, drums. And we're like, and Jamie has a vocal mic this time, so we're doing more like three-part harmonies, I guess.
Yeah, lots of reverb on it. Yeah, it's going to be really fun.
Yeah, we're excited.
Last question I ask everyone is, what's something you're excited about today?
Today?
To get a deli sandwich.
Oh! Yo, excited to get a chopped cheese burger sub in New York.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm literally, like, excited to be in New York this time. Like, because it's just, like, you know, like, we'll get out of the show and things are still happening and, like, you know, I, like, got a lot of good sleep last night.
Earlier we were talking about how we're more comfortable than before, and we got here earlier than we ever have before. We got the sound check.
That was pretty good.
Yeah. And like feeling comfortable, and Alex is the other one playing with us tonight.
Yeah,
and
I like him.
His brother lives here, fine. And we're staying in his apartment, and like everything is all sorted out.
He's Alexander. He makes music as Alexander. I'll just say it now. Alexander.
.bandcamp.com.
He went to high school with me.
That's
it.
Yeah, honestly, like getting like a full sound check was very like exciting.
Yeah.
Totally different experience.
How often do you come down here?
We used to come down here pretty often, but we haven't been here since like February now.
Okay. Are you working on any? This might not come out until after your tour, maybe. Working on any new material people should keep an eye out for?
Yeah, we're working on our third LP right now, and we're hoping. Like, our goal is to have it out, like, next June, I think. These are main goal, yeah.
Is it too soon to say ways that it's similar or different from previous material?
I think it's different because they're all literally songs we've never played live before.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's true.
Yeah,
that's
with
true.
This one, the one that just came out, it's like, we had already been playing those songs live for a while, and this one is just, like, totally stuff people have like never heard before, I think.
I'm super excited. Like we were saying earlier, we had a really great time recording, and it was just way different than before.
Yeah. Nice.
Feeling really good, yeah.
We wrote a lot of those parts days before we recorded them.
We demoed everything out, like we were saying.
Do you record in Boston?
We record in Rhode Island. Yeah.
Okay.
A place called Big Nice Studio.
Yeah. It's outside of Providence.
Yeah.
Sweet. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you so much.
This is fun. Thanks.
Sweet.